listening to Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford on ESPN 850 WKNR.
Dog Pound, get the most trusted Browns news straight from the team to your phone, including insider videos, photos, player news, and more. Download the official Browns mobile app for Apple and Android phones now and stay up to date on your team. Nathan Zagura, Andrew Gribble in for Matt Wilhelm here today. Of course, the Gribbs, senior writer for ClevelandBrowns.com, back off his vacation. I'm back as well. Talking a lot of Browns, just sports in general in the first hour. We do want to hear from you if you've got questions, 216-578-0850. We're going to get into our San Diego Chargers previews. The Browns will take them on in San Diego in week four. But before, we got a tweet that came in. Papa Giorgio 19 says, what are the odds Terrence West is third in the rotation? Guy needs to stop posting so much BS and worry about getting carries on the field. I guess it's in reference to his social media proclivity, as it were. What do you think about that running back room and how that ends up shaking out?
I just, maybe it's because, you know, Duke Johnson's brought in a lot of excitement here for fans. I think they've really gravitated toward him and all the potential he can bring to this backfield. But I just don't know if the rotation is going to be that simplistic. You know what I mean? Saying there's a 1, 2, and 3. I think that, you know, I think West and Crowell have obviously very similar skill sets, and you want to divide the carries up among them. But I think Johnson is just kind of a unique back that is going to be used a lot differently than those two other guys. So so if that means that West would be falling behind Crowell and another guy like a Glenn Winston, I don't think that's going to happen. So I think he could start the season behind Crowell in terms of that, in that area. But I think I think the plans for Johnson are just a little bit different than they are for the other two.
Yeah, I see kind of like a Stephen Ridley, Shane Vereen, or LeGarrette Blount, Shane Vereen in New England. But you really didn't have – whoever the second runner was didn't really have that much of a role. If you weren't the primary runner, you didn't have much of a role. So I think if Terrence West or Crow, whoever doesn't kind of become the guy to get the majority of the carries, I think the other one's not going to be much of a factor on a week-to-week basis unless they are the one getting those carries.
So would you rather – I mean, I don't know if coaches disagree on this, but would you rather have two guys get 10 carries or one guy get 16 and another get 4? I mean, it doesn't matter.
Well, I think ideally you want a situation where, let's say it's Crow. Crow gets 15 – you know, to 20 carries, depending on how the game flow goes. And Duke Johnson takes, you know, 7 to 10, depending on how the game flow goes, and catches another 4 balls out of the backfield.
If there's one question I get from my friends about the Browns more than anything, and it was a week-by-week thing last year almost, is asking me if they should start Terrence West or Isaiah Crowell on their fantasy team.
And it was hard.
Because it was driving people nuts. And I guess I would predict it to be, I guess the way I see it probably shaking out, I see them splitting carries again, just because I think I haven't seen as maybe the separation that there is a number one guy that's going to command the carries yet.
And I don't know that there is that separation yet. I think it's going to be a camp battle, but I think they need to pick a guy. I think if you give West 10 and Crow 10 and Duke Johnson 7, it's going to hurt more than it helps.
Yeah, it's tough because that's why.
Especially strong guys, they get in a rhythm. They get better as the game goes on. You need to have you need those carries to kind of start to feel out the defense, feel your runs out. If all of a sudden, you know, and I think this is what happened last year. I got a sense that at certain points they knew they were only getting, you know, a handful of carries each, and they pressed and tried to make a big run on every run. When you know you're getting fed the ball, you take what's there, and when the opportunity comes to pop one, you pop one. But I don't think they had that comfort last year. That's why I hope that there is one primary runner, and then you have Duke Johnson kind of filling in, catching the football, running it at times as well, because he's an electric playmaker, so you want to get him the ball. But if you could get him 10 touches a game and your primary runner 15 to 20, if that's where you want to go, I think the Browns are going to be in very good shape.
If we see the Terrence West that was on the field for the season finale at Baltimore on a regular basis, it's going to be hard to keep that Terrence West off the field. I mean, he had his ups and downs, but he ended the season on a very high note. I mean, that was one of the better performances by a running back all season. For the Browns, I think he had some extra motivation going back to his hometown.
Sure.
I think that played into it. So I think Browns coaches are kind of channel and tap into whatever was working that week. You want that every day in practice and in games outside of Baltimore.
But again, it goes back to my point. When Terrence West got 16 or more carries, which happened 4 times last year, he had 16 for 100 against the Steelers week 1, 19 for 68 and a touchdown and 2 catch for 22 yards, so he had 90 total yards and a touchdown week 2 against New Orleans. Then it disappeared until week 10 at Cincinnati, 26 carries, 94 yards and a touchdown. And then the last time was week 17 against Baltimore, 18 carries for 94 yards and a touchdown. So he's proven when he can get the ball, he can be very effective. But you look at the games where he didn't get a lot of carries and he wasn't effective. 5 for 12, 7 for 11, 5 for 8, 7 for 31. That's not a bad yards per carry average. 5 for 23. He never really was able to get into that rhythm. And I think that's what the Browns need to do is give these guys an opportunity. Pick one of them. If it's Crow, I mean, I love Crow, great. If it's West, that's fine too. But let one of them really carry the football so that they have an opportunity to get into that rhythm and make plays.
But it's kind of the chicken and egg thing when you're looking at those numbers. It's like, did he stop getting carries in that game because he wasn't being productive? And it's kind of like, you know, was his success because he wasn't getting carries, or was it he wasn't running well, therefore he didn't get a lot of carries?
I mean, that's fine, but I'm sure there are plenty of games where a guy like Marshawn Lynch early in the game is getting bottled up and is hitting a 2-yarder or a one and he gets stuffed, et cetera, et cetera. But then as the game goes on, he gets it. So I think you've got to make sure that you keep giving those guys these carries, because I think it's proven out that running backs are more effective when they get into a rhythm, they get more carries. I think it's really hard on 10 carries to be effective week in and week out.
Yeah, it's just we have to like kind of break down the numbers, but
because they're not change of pace guys.
It's almost like we have to look at these statistics based on pre-Alex Mack injury and post-Alex Mack injury, because I think that played a huge role in stopping these guys from getting
sure.
into them, especially because you know, you'd see them get maybe like a 3-yard carry, a 4-yard carry, and then third and short, nothing happened, and they're punting the ball again, and you're not getting the kind of that rhythm that they were maybe establishing. But the Isaiah Crowell we saw, if you get Isaiah Crowell at Atlanta every game, or you get Terrence West at Baltimore, whatever one of those guys kind of taps into what worked best for them last season, they're going to be in the best shape. But from what we saw in OTAs, we saw Crow a lot with the first team, but I don't know if we saw this definitive kind of separation at that position that maybe could happen at training camp.
And it certainly will be one of the interesting storylines. And how, if Duke Johnson continues to wow, do they say, hey, let's just make Duke Johnson the guy? Is that possible? I mean, fantasy-wise, that's the one question I get asked all the time. I don't think, at least as they have it set up now, that they think that for him. But you never know. It certainly could be possible.
See, I'm not trying to compare him to Darren Sproles, but I would compare his role in the offense potentially to
Shane Vereen.
So where if you're talking about fantasy football, it's not someone you could maybe bank on every week, but when he does play big, it's you wish you had him in your lineup.
But if he got to the point where he's getting 15 touches a week, then absolutely you could trot him out there and you could play him for your team, and I think he'd be very, very productive for you. Running back's going to be interesting, because how many are they going to keep? You know, who Duke Johnson is a lock. I would think Crow and West are locks, but then they like Glenn Winston. Do they carry four halfbacks? I don't know. They like Sean Drone because apparently he's the best pass blocker of the group, can help on special teams. I don't know if he makes it. Malcolm Johnson counts as a running back, I would imagine, and not a tight end, and he's going to play some fullback H-back for you. So how many backs are going to be on this team?
Do you think with Johnson, do they compensate that number in their tight end, the way they look at tight ends, or do
I don't know, because you've got Dre Barnage and Hausler. Mm-hmm. You've got Telfer, who you just drafted, but they might just injure, maybe kind of give him a redshirt injury year. You don't know when he's going to be ready to go. EJ Bibbs has come out of nowhere and has been turning a lot of heads. And in talking to a lot of people on this team, he is someone that they feel very confident in, that he has been very good and will be very good. They're very excited about EJ Bibbs, and that's coming from players, coaches, and the head coach of the Cleveland Browns, Mike Pettine. I know there's an article on clevelandbrowns.com about how he kind of came out of nowhere talking about Bibbs. And that's kind of why I think, you know, talking to people and talking to Thad Lewis, said this is going to be a tough team to make. You can make the case for a lot of people at a lot of different positions. And so that is going to be interesting, because it's a defensive-oriented team. I think we know that. It's a defensive-oriented head coach. I don't think, any way to get this roster to 25 offense, 25 defense, 3 specialists. It's going to be defense heavy. So where are you going to lose? Are you going to only carry 2 quarterbacks and practice squad Connor Shaw again? Are you going to only carry, you know, 3 running backs and a fullback, so 4 backs total? Are you carrying 3 tight ends, 4? How many offensive linemen are you carrying?
See, last year, though, when the team carried a fullback, were the Browns still carrying 4 running backs at that time too?
They had Agnew, and then they would have West, Crow, Ben Tate for some of that time, then Winston for some of that time. So it's typically 3. I don't know that there were 4 halfbacks ever up. Certainly not ever up
not
on
game day,
but on
sure.
the 53. Because yeah, Sean Drone was there. There was a while where Winston, Drone, West, and Crow were all on the 53, and I don't know how many of those games Agnew was also there.
I know the last game of the season there was no fullback
right.
on the roster, but so all four of those running backs were.
Because Agnew was here, then he was gone, and Kiro Small was here, and then Agnew was back.
Yeah, so and you got to think. I mean, Malcolm Johnson, from all intents and purposes, had a very good camp, and he's playing a role that seems to be very important to John DeFilippo in this offense. And you know, I don't know what his competition at that position right now even is. So he's one of those guys where, you know, that's one heck of value, knowing right away or knowing at this point you're going to bank on a 6th round pick for a pretty significant role within your offense. That's clearly someone you identified, I guess, in the pre-draft process.
They liked him very much, and yeah, they wanted John DeFilippo when he came in here, said he wanted a Marcel Reese type of a guy, and that's what they think they've gotten in him. Speaking of Malcolm Johnson. All right, we promise you the Chargers preview, but we got a good Twitter question. Do you want to keep those coming? At Nathan Zagura, at Andrew_Gribble, at Browns_Daily, or call us 216-578-0850. We'll talk Chargers when we return on Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford.